The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. Welcome to a scorching weekend. I'm Andy Brownell, and we are with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results, as we normally are at this time. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you have that pool ready to go to spend the whole weekend hiding from the heat?
Yeah, but you know me. It's not very cool and refreshing. I like to keep that baby at 90. So.
Oh, gosh.
But it's wet. It's wet. It's wet.
You know, it's funny. It wasn't more than a couple days ago, I was talking to somebody, and they were complaining how cool and wet this summer has been.
Well, I hope they got what they were asking for, because... Yeah, yikes.
Sultry is the term for this.
We actually had a hailstorm in Wabasha last night.
I watched the radar showing. It was Thursday night, yeah.
Yeah, today's Thursday. Oh, yeah, Thursday night. And actually, we weren't there. We were in Rochester at an event. The days go by so crazy.
I know.
Anyway, we were in Rochester at an event, and by the time we were going home, I was talking to somebody on the phone, and she said, "Oh, you're lucky you didn't come through a few hours ago." And I said, "Why?" She said, "We had 2 inches of ice in our yard." I'm like, "What?"
Wow.
That was really crazy. We didn't get hit bad in Reed's Landing, though. I mean, we had flower pots tipped over, and so I was expecting no petals on my flower. I mean, I was expecting a disaster, but it wasn't as bad at my house.
And there was a strange one, too. It actually came from the Wisconsin side and crossed over the river.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Weird. Well, it's hot now, so if somebody doesn't think it feels like summer, I beg to differ.
Well, we have to have a few days like this every year. Otherwise, we just don't appreciate it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be the weekend. I'm going to run into somebody for sure who's going to say, "Oh, I'd rather have winter than this."
Yeah, nope, not me. That won't be me that you hear saying that. Besides, you know what? For my business, summer is just so much better. Winter, it's not that much fun to go looking at houses in the winter.
No. And plus, you know, it's colorful in the summer. The flowers, the leaves, exactly. The green grass. Everything looks so much nicer.
No coats, no boots, no gloves. But who's, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter.
And we had air conditioning. As long as it's working, we're good.
True.
Well, Robin, today... You know, we often talk about what's happening now in the news and in the market and everything else. And I go back, it's been years since we just talked about the general process of buying a house. And I'm thinking, for someone who has never done it, perhaps has been living in an apartment for a long time and has been hearing us talk about now's the time, right? There's no Correct. Better time than now, but they don't know what to expect. Maybe we could just spend some time talking about what that person could expect if they pick up the phone and they call you after they're hearing the show.
Yes, I would absolutely be happy to walk through that. So let's just pretend I'm teaching a classroom, right? I'm in a classroom teaching first-time buyers how the process looks, and we'll just kind of go through it like that. You know, there is more inventory out there right now than we've had in a while, so that is an advantage to buyers, because when they are all prepared and ready to start looking, there's actually going to be houses to look at. So we'll start with that as a positive note. But when people say, well, what is it that I have to do to be prepared? The first thing you're going to want to do is get pre-approved, because you want to know how much you can comfortably afford each month. Now, chances are most home buyers, I'm not going to say all, but most home buyers are paying something to live in your current situation. Some are moving right from mom and dad's basement to purchasing a house. But often, more often than not, the home buyer is renting prior to buying. So they already know what it means to pay a monthly rent check and an electrical bill and a heat bill, all those things, right? So when you go to the bank, they ask you, first and foremost, how much you make. They're going to want to know what debt you carry. Do you still owe money on, for example, a student loan, a car loan, whatever, a
credit
boat,
cards.
Camper, you know, credit cards. That's a big one. But anyway, they're going to want to know what debt you're currently carrying. And then they're going to look at what they call your income to debt ratio. So how much are you making each month and how much of that is already accounted for? Because that's how they can determine how much you can comfortably spend. And then, of course, they're going to look at your credit score. Are you a person that's credit worthy? Do you make your payments on time? Is that what your history says that you do? And if they find out that your credit score is acceptable, then they will approve you for a loan, and they'll tell you based on what your other debt is, what that amount is that they will approve you for.
What kind of documentation are they going to ask for? Do you know?
Yeah, they're going to ask you for check stubs. They may ask you for your income tax return. They're going to ask you for, they're going to ask you to share your social security number and give them permission to pull your credit, because sometimes people will say, oh yeah, my credit's good, I pay my bills on time. Well, that's not enough. You know, they have to see that, because clearly they're going to have documentation at the time they put through your loan application to underwriting. Sure. So those are the kind of things they're going to ask you for. And I will say that having good enough credit to get the loan approval is not equal to having good enough credit to get the best rate on the market. All right. So basically there's a credit score range. Yes, within this range, you're going to get approved. But if you're way up here at this high end, you're going to even get a more desirable interest rate or a more desirable terms to the loan.
So what I understand is 800, you're a rock star.
Absolutely. If it starts with an 8, you're in great shape.
But even 700 is probably going to be okay,
yeah,
right?
High 7s are good. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen people getting mortgages approved in, you know, mid to high 6s. It's just that there's going to be more fees involved, higher interest rates, et cetera, because the bank sees themselves as putting themselves in a position that they're taking a bigger risk. So they're going to collect for that accordingly.
But that all gets factored into whether or not you can be approved for the loan. So,
well, of course.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I always tell people there's one number that the bank is going to say that you're approved at. And then oftentimes there's a completely different number that you're going to feel comfortable forking out each month. And so we're going to focus on that number because, sure, as you know, Mandy, we often talk about it's all about your budget. It's not so much about what's today's interest rate and what the price is about the house. It's the whole package. With today's interest rate at this price, this is what my monthly payment will be. How does that feel? And if it's like, oh, whoa, that's $200 less than I pay for rent right now, then it's kind of a no-brainer. Or even if it's, that's exactly what I'm paying for rent right now, it's a no-brainer. And guess what, guys? Even if it's, well, that's $250 more than I'm paying for rent right now, but I'm not strapped for cash. I mean, I still get along. I put money into savings at this pace, that kind of thing. Then it's still a no-brainer, because each month when you're making that mortgage payment, you're actually paying yourself instead of paying your landlord, right? Because you're building equity. So you're padding that bank account that you live in.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Because it's the truth. It's the truth, guys. It is the truth.
So we've got the pre-approval.
Yes. Then so we know what you're approved at.
Now we go sit down with you and talk about what we should look at. Is that where we're at now?
Yeah. So once we have decided this is how much I'm comfortable spending, then we set up a portal. So then we sit down and we say, what's important to you? And sometimes people say, I absolutely want to walk to work. I do not want to have to deal with parking my car. I don't want to have to deal with having to, whatever the reason is. They want to walk to work. Okay. So now we are looking at a very close proximity to wherever that job is. Or if they say, I absolutely want my daughter in this school. Well, in Rochester, well, in a lot of areas, but I'll speak specifically about Rochester. If you want to go to public school, it's based on your physical address. You don't get to say, hey, this is the public school I'd like to put my kids in. You know, this is the elementary school I like. If you're not living in that area that's already been assigned to that school, then you don't go to that school. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I know people sometimes write letters and say, well, my daycare is in that neighborhood and that's where I drop them off at 7 a.m. or whatever. Yeah. But in general.
Yeah, you be as close as you could be to that school you want to be at.
Right. So we're going to talk about those things. Where do you want to live specifically? And what's really important to you? Like, you absolutely must have an attached garage. Well, then we're not going to look at houses that have detached garages. Or I absolutely have to have a garage. That opens up your search a little bit. Or I want at least 3 bedrooms. Well, then we put those in. So we are we have a tool where we can put all this criteria in and set up a portal that is just for you. So that when a new listing comes on the market and that listing meets the criteria that you're looking for, that listing is going to just auto-populate in your email.
Well, that's pretty slick.
It's very slick. Because otherwise, what people find themselves doing once they're in this house hunting mode, they can't get off the computer. They're constantly checking Zillow, or they're checking, Remax results, or they're checking the websites and they're just looking, did I miss anything? Did I miss anything? Did anything new come? But if we've already got your criteria all set up, as soon as a new listing hits the market, boom, it's emailed to you instantly. People are like, oh, thank you for that new listing you emailed me. I'm like, yeah, you're good. But, that would mean I would have to be sitting at my computer watching it all the time. So this way it just auto sends and you get it right away, even if it's a coming soon or, anything that fits all the criteria that you're looking for. So that's how we start our search.
Okay.
Clearly we have to go out and we have to look at houses. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what that entails when we come back. We have to take a quick break. Okay. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results here on Newstalk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.com. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back and good morning. We are with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results, today talking about the process of buying a home. This is especially important for someone who hasn't been through this before. And Robin, you said now it's time to go actually physically look at the houses. Do you kind of prime people for this, to tell them what to expect and what to look for?
Well, yeah, this is the deal. If you are, let's just say you've been approved for $325,000, but we've looked at your budget and you see what a payment would be at $275,000. And you say, oh, I'd feel real comfortable there. Well, then we're going to start looking in that price point. Because if we start looking at the higher end, anything we look that's less than that is probably not, you're probably just not going to get that excited about it. So we're going to start low and work our way up if we have to. That's the way I do it. And then I also think it's really important for people to go out and walk through and see and say, okay, so this is what I can get for $275,000. And this is what I can expect. Well, if you see one, you're like, all right, I believe you. If you say that's true. If you see 5 and they all seem pretty comparable, it's like, yep, this feels like $275,000. If you see 10, you're like, okay, yeah, this one is definitely overpriced, or this one is definitely a great deal. You start to feel it, right? Because the more houses you get out and see, the more educated you get. And those are things that I'll point out. Like, remember the last house we were at? The furnace was brand new. The roof was brand new. The windows had been replaced. Now we're over here in this one. They want the same price. It's going to need a furnace. It's going to need roof. It's going to need windows. So those are the kind of things that I'll be pointing out, right, to help you understand and learn what your expectations should be.
Perfect.
And then,
I was just saying that for a person just starting out, that's got to be invaluable, because I'd be lost.
Well, even people like you who haven't bought a house in a very long time, it's not because you've never bought a house, because you clearly have, but it's just that it's so much different. It is so much different how much house you can get for your money than it was when you bought your last house.
And all this, there's all a whole lot of new stuff that wasn't even available for homes, materials and technology and all of that. But right, there's so much to take in.
And factors that people don't think about are like, okay, you like this house. You don't mind that you're going to have to replace the roof very soon, or you don't mind that you're going to have to replace the windows soon. How does your insurance company feel about it? Because sometimes insurance companies say, oh, nice house. We're not insuring it. So you have to know that. Those are the kind of things that I know. Those are the kind of things that I will point out. Those are the kind of things that I will, you know, anytime we can avoid a storm, we're going to avoid it, right? So I've already called. I've taken pictures of things. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. This young couple loved a house. It was a really cute house. And I said, you guys, I do not have a good feeling about this house. And they said, why? And I said, look at this big tree. Oh, we love that big tree. And I said, you love that big tree. I'm not sure your insurance company is going to love that big tree. And do you have any idea how much it's going to take down that big tree? Oh, we would never take it down. All right. So then I take a picture of the tree. I text it to my insurance guy. I say, do you see anything wrong with this picture? He goes, oh, good luck insuring that house, because this great big towering tree is almost right up against the house. And if there's a storm, like we were just talking about, right?
Yeah.
If that tree comes down on your roof, that's an insurance claim. So now the insurance companies will say, yeah, we're not going to insure the house unless you take down the tree. So then I take a picture of it. I send it to one of my tree service guys and I say, how much do you think it'd cost to take this tree down? Based on what I can see in the pictures, I think that's going to be about $6,000 to $8,000.
Oh my God.
And then they're like, oh my God. Okay. Let's move on. We don't love the house anymore. You know, so it's not just about, oh, cute kitchen, nice bathroom. I can see my bedroom furniture in this bedroom. I mean, there's just more things. More and more and more as a listing agent, I'm getting calls from agents whose buyers are interested in buying the house, or even agents whose buyers have already gone under contract on my listings saying, hey, the insurance company needs these questions answered. What amp is the service? How old is the furnace? How old is the roof? I mean, so things are really changing on that end as well.
Oh, my gosh, and, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like that when you bought your house, for sure.
No, it wasn't.
Your house insurance, really easy. So there's just so much behind the scenes stuff that we have to know. But luckily, we do know all that stuff. So we're prepared to just walk through the houses, point out the good things, point out the problematic things, help you assess whether or not that house has been priced right. And again, we don't pull our opinion out and say overpriced. Instead, we say, remember the one we just saw? Now that was the same price as this one, but it had one extra bedroom and a third car garage, or it had, you know what I mean? So we educate yeah. So that as you're going along, the more time you spend out there looking at houses, the more comfortable you're going to get. And you're going to be like, oh yeah, I get it. Yep. I feel good about this one. Let's go for it. And that's when it feels right. So then it's time to make the offer.
Okay. Why don't we take a break before we make the offer? Let's do that.
All right. Okay.
Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, Buying a House 101 this week. We'll return in a moment on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9
details.
To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Saturday morning with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results on News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM, talking about the process of buying a house, and we're up to making the offer.
Time to make the offer. All right, so obviously I've already got you under contract as my buyer, because after the lawsuit last year, that's something that we're doing before we even start the house hunting, right? I can't go out and show you houses if you haven't signed something. Initially, we might do a touring agreement short term, but we're going to have a buyer's right to represent. So we've got that piece done. I'm representing you. We've already agreed on the amount of money that you're going to pay me a commission. And that's where people are going, wait, I have to pay the commission? Well, truth be told, we're still writing it in our contracts and asking the seller to pay me on your behalf. Okay. So line 406 of the purchase agreement says, how much is the seller going to pay to the buyer's broker? And so whatever amount you've agreed to pay me is the amount we're going to ask the seller to pay us. Okay.
Yep.
So we're going to look at that house and we're going to say, all right, this is the one. Let's make the offer. We've got our pre-approval. We're ready to go. We feel good with the number. Good news is we're in a market right now, guys, where it's definitely the norm to be able to say, I do want this offer to be contingent upon an inspection. And we've talked about this a lot, Andy. That hasn't always been the case.
Yep.
So sometimes the sellers have taken the steps and done a pre-inspection and buyers ask me, do you think it's okay just to read that inspection report and feel good with that? Or do we have to do another one of our own? And my answer is, listen, if that inspection report was done by a reputable inspector who we know and trust, that's absolutely satisfactory. So we can just say, okay, we don't have to make it contingent on inspection report because you've provided us the one and we've read it and we're satisfied. But we need to know that we feel good about that. So we have to talk about how much do you want to pay? What's the closing date going to be? You've already talked to your lender, so you know what you're bringing up front as far as percent down. So everybody's, you know, pretty well educated at this point. My job is to now call the other agent, find out if there are any offers on the table. Because when we write this offer, we want to know, are we competing with somebody else? Or are we the only person writing? If we're the only person writing, we may ask them to pay a little bit of our closing costs, or we may ask them to come down slightly. Now, I'm not talking crazy because, again, houses are selling somewhere between 97 and 102% of what they're being listed for, depending on how they're listed. Every once in a while, there's going to be that outlier that was overpriced, so it's going to sell a little less. But again, that's where you count on my expertise to tell you this house is priced right. We better go in and give them what they're asking, or oh boy, they've underpriced this one. It's going to get into a bidding war. Be prepared to go over, or oh my gosh, they have overpriced this so bad. I think we can come in and ask for 10 grand off. So that's where you're looking to me. So we've come up with the price based on all the data I've shared with you. So we simply need to know when you're going to close, how much money you have for your down payment, how much you're financing, what are you going to pay for earnest money? Earnest money is something that people get confused about. They're like, well, is that extra money I have to pay? It's not. It's just basically a pre-down payment. It's like if your lender told you be prepared to come to the table with 10 grand and you paid 5,000 in earnest money, then be prepared to come to the table with 5 grand because you've already brought 5 grand. So again, I just walk you through all that, explain all that to you. We get the whole offer written and then we submit it. Now, one of the most common questions I get asked is how long does the seller have to make a decision? Unless we put something in that offer saying we need an answer in 24 hours or we need an answer by 4 p.m. tomorrow, the seller isn't necessarily held to a time, but I will say that it is an understood rule that time is of the essence, and that is part of the contract. We explain that to sellers when we list. It just doesn't always mean the same thing to everybody.
Is it advantageous to put a deadline, or does that put you at a disadvantage as far as being considered as the buyer in the seller's mind?
Yes. If you're in multiple offers and the other two or three offers are saying, just get back to us whenever it's convenient for you. And I'm saying, let me know by noon tomorrow or I'm pulling my offer. They might be like, well, we still have three others. Pull your offer. What do we care?
Okay.
So you have to know. And each situation is different, right? Now, if I'm the only offer and I fear that another offer could be coming behind us and I have a buyer that wants to get on the plane tomorrow and go home and they really want to have a house bought before they do that, I will say to the agent, listen, we've timed this offer for a very legitimate reason, not because we're trying to be difficult, but because they only have tomorrow to find a house. So if we can know by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning if they're going to get this one, great. But if they're not, then we got to get back out there and hit the pavement and try to find something before they fly out at 4:30 this afternoon. So if you explain it and it's not like you're trying to be all controlling of the deal, this is where I guess I could interject this. The relationship between the real estate agents is such an important part of this transaction and this process. I can't even tell you how important it is to be working with someone who works well with others, who has good relationships built with agents across the board, not only within the same company, but within the other companies. And especially in our market where we all work together all the time. I mean, we have friends in all the companies, right? So it's just really important because that good relationship becomes a bonus both to the buyer and to the seller. Yeah. So
because you have a chance to explain the reason why.
Exactly. And you have the chance to say, you know, like really go to bat for your buyer and explain, you know, like go ahead, Andy, you know me. I've never brought you a deal where the financing hasn't gone through, but if you want to, feel free to call Jane over at First Bank and ask her, you know, or whatever. So it's like the communication piece and those relationship piece that just takes the doubt out of it. And, you know, whenever you can take the doubt out of anything, it just takes the stress out of it. Yeah. And that's our ultimate goal, is just to be able to have the answers, have the resources, have the data, have the relationships to take the stress out of this whole process for the buyers and instead turn it into a really fun thing to do. Like I really have a great time, especially with people who haven't bought in a long time or haven't ever bought. It's a really fun process to go through and just really go above and beyond and make it easy for them and fun for them, stress-free. And then when we get the win, it's really satisfying.
You know, and everything you've talked about in our conversation here today points to exactly why it's so important to go with an experienced realtor like yourself. Because
you
brought up so many aspects of this I wouldn't even have thought of, and I've been talking to you doing this program for years now. So I guess
it's not one is the same as the same, for sure. It's not.
That's for
and
sure.
I am proud to say that we are the number one team in all of Southeast Minnesota. I have been in that position for quite some time, and I don't think we're going to be going away from that position anytime soon. So we're happy to help you.
If you're ready to jump in there and took in everything we just talked about and I would feel good about it, especially calling you. How do they get a hold of you, Robin?
Absolutely. Call me on my cell phone anytime. And that number is 507-259-4926. And I truly do look forward to your calls.
All right, Robin. Stay cool somehow.
I will. Don't worry.
We'll talk to you next week. Robin Gwaltney with Gwaltney Group Remax Results right here at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.